AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And Julie, what is the title of today's episode?
Roller Derby Microbiome.
Yes.
Just like that.
It's a great title. We put a lot of thought into these. And what are we talking about when we talk about roller derby microbiome?
Well, I mean, we're talking about colonization, really, of various microbial teams in our universes. Yes. Our universes meaning, like, on our bodies, mm-hmm. outside of our bodies, in our workspaces, private spaces, public spaces.
Yes. Now, in our most recent episode, we talked about cubicle death. We talked about our workspaces. And we touched upon the key concept that we're really getting into here, and that's the idea that at some point, there was an individual, a primordial office worker, if you will. Mm-hmm. Getting mythic here.
The first.
Yes. And we'll call him Adam, all right?
I was going to say, why don't we go with Eve?
We can go with Eve.
Microbial Eve.
We'll go with Adam and Eve. How about that?
All right.
Yeah. So Adam and Eve are out in the paradise, and they have a lot of work to do because God has tasked them with working up all these Excel spreadsheets, mm-hmm. about what all the animals are going to be named. They have to put in a budget request. A lot of work to get done. They have to make goals for the coming fiscal year,
mm-hmm.
and they're just out there in the midst of all this nature. Mosquitoes are coming up to them. Unnamed animals are coming up and wanting to be named. There's a serpent just talking nonstop about, mm-hmm. some tree. What are they going to do? They're like, we got to get out of this nature. So how do I get out of this nature, out of all this disturbing nature that's messing with my vibe, that's potentially making me sneeze or itch?
Mm-hmm.
I need to create an artificial world in which I can work, when I can shut everything out, a nice clean space, an indoor space that will be my office.
A true human habitat.
Yes.
And fast forward, here we are now. I mean, we do not live out in nature anymore. At least most of us do not, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have some sort of structure around us, and therefore we have created our own little microbiomes in these buildings that we dwell in.
You know, I'm realizing now I should have gone with Sophia as the is the name of our mythical office worker, because I had gone into the Gnostic idea that Sophia, from a primary ideal universe, falls and creates, ultimately creates, a flawed universe in which we all reside now. Because that's sort of what any kind of indoor office space is, a flawed version of the more ideal environment that exists outside these walls.
And, of course, we are talking today not just about the microbiome on our bodies, but the environment that we see around us in microbes. In fact, I invite everybody to put on their microbiome vision or their goggles and begin to imagine a world that comes alive just in germs, right? So look around you on the walls. There are various species of microbes there. They're on your feet, on your desk surface, on your food. It's everything is teeming with microbes.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that old Saturday Night Live skit where they had the fecal vision goggles that they would put on.
Yes.
And they would see growing green substance wherever a fecal matter was present.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a horror show because the individual wearing it, I think it was Meadows, is just seeing just like green stuff all over people's hands and faces, all over a baby, all over the walls. It's just grim.
It's true. According to Stanford microbiologist Stanley Falco, the world is covered in a fine patina of feces. And we need to start thinking about that because really that is informing, to some degree, our measures of health. So when I talk about that, our health and our microbiome, we should probably do a quick overview of what a microbiome is. I know we've talked about it before, but how it affects us, because this is a huge field, that is growing, that's giving us a ton of information about how we operate in the world based on these little critters around us.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to the basic principle that, the human body is not organism, but the human body is organisms living together in some degree of unison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're talking about 100 trillion microbial cells. You've heard it before. Mm-hmm. We are outnumbered 10 to 1 in terms of our own cells versus bacterial cells.
Yeah, we come into this world, we are colonized, and we remain colonized throughout our entire lives.
Yeah, in fact, when you say we come into this world, when we are born, if we are born vaginally, that's when we get our first slathering of these bacterial cells. And these are really important because these bacterial cells help to inform our immune systems.
Yeah, we've evolved with this set situation. So in a sense, what we're talking about here is a natural extrapolation of this in terms of our physical environments that we create. Because just as the human body is not a situation of, all right, here's the clean human, here's the infected human.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not a clear-cut situation of, here is a clean working environment, and here is an infected one. All humans are infected or colonized, and all spaces are colonized.
Right. In the Human Microbiome Project, was trying to get a baseline of what a normal microbiome looks like. And they still don't have this, by the way, but this is their first attempts to try to figure out what something might look typically for each person. So what they did is they took 200 scientists at 80 institutions, and they sequenced the genetic material of bacteria taken from 250 healthy people, which, by the way, they took it from all various areas of their body. And that yielded something like 11,000 plus samples that they're going through. And again, they're trying to figure out what might a baseline of a normal microbiome look like. And why does it even matter? Well, it turns out that each human contains up to 10,000 strains of bacteria with 8 million bacterial genes. And this is in contrast to 22,000 human genes. So again, this idea begins to build that there's things going on in your bacterial cells that are gaming not just your immune system, but your gut, and informing your gut about how you feel, right? We've talked about this before, the mind-body connection between the gut. And also, we're also finding out that each person has a tailor-made combination of bacteria in their body, and bacteria differs on your body depending on where it is. So it could be like a rainforest in one area or the desert in another area.
So the workspace becomes a melting pot. Each of us is kind of a ship from a different nation carrying its own mix of individuals ready to colonize a new world. And then our skin falls off as it does in the office place. People break wind. People's shoes fart as they walk. The pressure of your feet and your shoes starts shooting out. So we colonize the world around us with our own particular cocktail of microbiology.
And it's true, right? Because we've talked about this again, that the gut microbia that is in there is specific to your diet, right? Mm-hmm. So if you eat a lot of sushi, then, and you live in Japan, then you have a gut microbe that can break down seaweed. And that gut microbe, by the way, adapted itself from a marine animal, and it basically took up a sequence of that genetic code of that marine animal and then took it unto itself to then be able to use the sequence in your gut so it could also break down seaweed. And that, I think, is the amazing thing, is that bacteria can swap genes and pieces of DNA with itself, and that makes it highly adaptable. So not only are you walking around in your office with your own microbiome, but it's doing things that are specific to you. And now, let's say your office is not necessarily your traditional workspace. Let's say your office is roller derby.
Okay.
What happens?
Where is my desk in the roller derby? Or are you saying I'm a roller derby queen?
You are a roller derby queen. What is your roller derby name, by the way?
I like to stick with the show branding. I'll go with Buster Stuffington.
Buster Stuffington?
Does it need to be more ladylike? Busty Stuffington. Yes. That's my roller derby name.
Okay, I was going to say Lamb to the Slaughter, but I don't know if that really like shows like, hey, like, I'm going to slaughter you. Or
is it an individual name?
Individual name.
I'm going with Busty Stuffington.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're in your office, which is basically like a roller derby track. Okay.
Okay.
And let's say that you're the home team.
Okay.
There are two other teams that are coming to compete with you in this tournament. Okay. You've got your microbiome, and your team, by the way, shares a similar microbiome.
Okay.
All right. So this is evidence that when we are grouped together in a situation, we begin to share the same aspects or the same profile of bacteria, which is interesting. Okay. Now, if you are about to start your game and you begin elbowing someone and you just smash into one of the opposing teams, well, what are you doing when you come into contact with them?
Well, I'm assaulting them with my elbow bones, but I'm also colonizing them with a little bit of skin flakes, at least skin flakes, assuming nothing else comes off.
All right. So exactly. Now you're swapping your bacterial cells. And what...
That's right. I'm getting some of theirs on me as well, especially if I get them right in the kisser.
Right. So what researchers have found, and this is fascinating, is that not only do you share the same microbiome or aspects of it with your team, but by the end of that tournament, when you get swabbed again, you're going to find out that the other team's microbiomes that you swapped some sweat with are now trying to colonize your microbiome.
Wow.
They're trying to take you over, at least at the skin level.
Interesting.
And not only that, but your microbiome also has aspects, similar aspects to the roller derby that you primarily work out of. So the opposing team is taking all of their bacteria from their roller derby hall and transmitting it to you.
So they have a home microbiome advantage, in a sense.
Well, you have the home advantage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. But they're bringing their environment
bringing
with you.
Oh, okay.
So what we're talking about here is like, here's an extreme form of, let's say, an office community. It's not really an office community, but a job, you know, per se. And they are bringing their environments with them, and they're sharing it with each other. So it becomes a very interesting question of, to what extent can we affect each other with our microbiomes? So I wanted to bring up a New Yorker article called Microbiomes and Health, How We Colonize Each Other with Bacteria. Balfour Sartor, he's a gastroenterologist at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and he specializes in inflammatory bowel disease, like Crohn's. He says that there is a growing stack of evidence, some published, some not, that people who have lived with inflammatory bowel disease sufferers for long periods of time, they have a higher rate of it than themselves, than people in the general population. So there's this growing idea that perhaps you could be colonized over time by someone else's gut bacteria, especially if you're exposed to that. Because as we know, if you flush the toilet, some of the bacteria gets aerosolized and then shot up into the air and then gets on surfaces, and then you can pick that up. That bacteria that you pick up on your hands can go into your mouth, go into your gut. Lo and behold, you are introducing another bacterium.
Huh. Now, I'm thinking of the posters in all of our workspaces that, you know, tell you what sexual harassment is, and I think one of them is inappropriate touching. Does this count as inappropriate touching? Because I did not ask anyone to invade me with their microbiome, and it's happening.
Well, that's interesting, because then you begin, okay, let's say we have this understanding of the microbiome that's really, like, in 20 years, that's really advanced, nuanced. Do people become hyper aware of how they interact with others? Is it aggressive to swipe at someone that you don't know, or you're trying to, like, give let's say you have some sort of stomach ailment and you're trying to give them your gut bacteria. I don't even talk about how it got on your hands in the first place. But, you know, could this be an act of aggression?
Or does it become like a rite of passage? It's kind of like welcome to the family. Welcome. It's like being blood brothers with everyone. Like we welcome you into this office space, and now we shall have the ritual licking of the palms and high-fiving so that we may all be of the same microbiome.
Well, it's true. Just something symbolic like a handshake becomes that much more, right? You start your first day of work, and you have the handshake with people.
We should all do the cough in the hand handshake first day. Just like the
solidarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you might as well say, hey, you're going to get colonized by the microbiome here at work. So just let's go ahead and have at it.
Yeah. Hold for like 5 seconds just to make sure everybody gets on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will explore the microbiome roller derby even more. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back with more Roller Derby Microbiome.
We're back. All right, we wanted to bring up Jessica Green and something called bio-informed design, because she's taken this idea that we're not just the germs on our skin or inside of our body, but we're also affecting our environments, and our environments are affecting us. And she is a biodiversity scientist and director of the Biology and the Built Environment Center at the University of Oregon. She has a good TED Talk on this. And her work really is trying to understand the role of the microbial ecosystems on human health. So she and her team decided to study the Lillis Building. This is on the campus of the University of Oregon. And the reason why they wanted to look at it is because it has a nice bacterial stew in the form of classrooms, offices, and restrooms. And so, in other words, you get, again, that fine patina of feces in the form of restrooms, right, the restroom spray. You get a nice transient population of microbial colonies from students.
Varying backgrounds, yeah.
Yeah, who are traipsing in all sorts of stuff, right, on their feet, on their hands, on that pizza
pockets,
they just ate.
In their hair. In your ears, the navel, you name it.
And then they have a stable population of colonies in the form of those who dwell in the office space.
Yes.
So this is such an interesting project to me, because they took it and they worked with an architect and they sort of resurrected the building using computer program. And then they started working to say, okay, well, if we use this louver system with the windows in one part of the building, and this louver system, if you've ever seen them before, they're pretty popular, like in places, like tropical places like Hawaii, where you can just kind of move these metal grates in the windows, and you can move them so that they all line up and they're flat and they can keep the elements out, okay? Or you could just move them and then they would open up a bit and you could get some real fresh airflow in.
Yeah, you do see them a lot in Hawaii, where you have more of a stable constant temperature and you can just keep things pretty nice with just the natural breeze.
Yeah, so they use this. Sometimes they had natural airflow coming in and out, and sometimes they closed it and then they just used the ventilation system. And what they found is that they were really specific microbial colonies based on where they were. So those classrooms had a different profile than, say, the offices or even the banks of elevators. And what happened is that when they opened those louvers, they found that the microbial cloud dissipated with the introduction of fresh air. And this became really important because Green is looking at how to best structure or manipulate that environment to have a really good or healthy microbial profile for people.
Yeah, it comes down to, like we said earlier, this old outdated idea that we are creating a pristine indoor environment for our pristine indoor lives, and that's completely cut off from the teeming living world outside. No, we can't have it that cut and dry. We're going to have microbes living all in our environments, but we're going to have a different type of environment, and not necessarily, and well, certainly the research is saying not a better one.
Right, and she's very cautious about the research because it's pretty early with this.
A little too cautious. The interview I was seeing, they kept like kind of trying to seed some like really mind-blowing comments, and she's like, I'm not going there just yet.
She won't.
Which is commendable. She's holding back and saying that we're working on that. That's the next phase, or the research doesn't really indicate exactly what kind of take we should have on this just yet.
Right, because she's saying that the next phase of their research is trying to line up two bits of this, the environment and the humans, the two kinds of ecosystems, and mm-hmm. really bear out some research that she already has a hunch about. But she wants to see them work together in parallel before she says anything. And, again, this is sort of a new field, because if this bears out the sort of things that we think it will, then architects will begin to consider this in design. So you're not just going to have a green building that has low carbon emissions, but you're also going to have a green building with a healthy microbiome in it. So it's interesting, because she also is looking at this study with Portland or a Portland hospital. And again, it's that mechanical ventilated rooms.
Yes.
That is showing an increase in pathogens. So in other words, if they didn't give this hospital access to outside air to help dissipate that microbial cloud, then it turned out that those pathogens increase, because again, you're manipulating the environment and you're making it so that these pathogens can live and actually thrive in it. And this is a hospital setting, so that's obviously a problem.
Yeah, you end up with your outdoor air, and then you have your indoor air, and the indoor air is full of things as well. It's not, again, not this pristine, clean stuff that we think it is. They were finding that bacterial communities in indoor environments contain many taxa that are absent or rare outdoors, including, again, many of those that are tied to human pathogens.
Yeah.
So you have this artificial environment, this kind of zoo of weird things circulating in the air.
And she's saying, like, you know, in terms of a hospital environment, it's a little like having a weed in your backyard and just mm-hmm. torching the entire backyard to get rid of the weed. The same thing is happening in these hospital environments. And it's important to have the outside air come in, because, you know, when you have traces of the outdoors and you have traces of, say, soil come in, that soil, it turns out, is really important to create that profile of what a healthy microbiome might look like. In fact, there is a bacterium in soil called Mycobacterium vasae that scientists at the Sage Colleges of Troy, New York, found can actually reduce anxiety and increase learning capabilities
when ingested. It stimulates neuron growth.
Yes. And of course, this is in mice.
Yeah.
But when they fed it to them, or when they inhaled it, yes, it increased neuron growth. And it caused the serotonin levels to increase, which reduced their anxiety. And then, this is so cool, when they wanted to test to see if it increased or enhanced their learning abilities, researcher Dorothy Matthews and her colleagues fed them this bacterium, or rather one group, and then a control group, and then they let them loose on this maze, and it turned out that the group had been dosed with the bacterium.
These are mice, right? Not humans?
Yes.
Okay.
Although, that would be...
Because for a second there, I was picturing humans instead of mice, and it was kind of crazy.
Going through a maze?
Yeah, after being dosed with bacteria.
Somehow in my mind, they're naked.
Yes,
like,
yeah,
of course,
I think so.
They're running naked through the maze. But those mice that were dosed, they actually were able to run through twice as fast with less demonstrated anxiety behaviors as control mice. So there's this idea, again, that some of these bacteriums... or some of this bacteria is very helpful to the way that our bodies respond to our environments and actually navigate our world.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that sunlight is good, you know, and you want an office space that has windows in it. You know, you want to get some natural sunlight, get some of that vitamin D. But again, we fall into that idea that this is a clean place and we don't want a bunch of dirt around. But where actually smelling the dirt, interacting with the dirt, and interacting with that outside air, far healthier for us than that so-called clean air that's coming out of that ventilation duct.
Yeah, and you've seen study after study about kids who are exposed to dirt, mm-hmm. particularly kids that live in rural areas or on farms. They have a far more robust immune system than kids who are kept in very clean environments. And as we, you know, begin to learn more and more about the microbiome and how it is gaming us and our environment, I think this becomes really important. And I'm very intrigued by this idea of designing a microbial environment for ourselves, particularly in our human habitats, which are our homes and our office spaces.
Yeah, because that's really where we're leading with all this. I mean, that's the really the mind-blowing idea of it here, is that reaching an age where you're designing a building, not only the structures that are present and the engineering of the building and the look of the spaces and the movement of people through it, but also the movement of microbacteria through it. The managing of the microbiome of the building, almost like it's itself a living thing, and realizing that it's an artificial environment, and finding ways to make sure that skews in the positive direction instead of the negative.
You know, I would love a little beneficial bacteria to be introduced during the winter months here in our office, because that's when we all get sick and we don't necessarily stay home when we should, and we cough all over everything. So it'd be nice to sort of say, okay, we're going to fog the place with some good germs.
Yeah, or just bring in the dirt, you know? It makes me think of some of the vampire myths, where the vampire needs to sleep in its own, like, grave soil, its native grave soil. I believe that this was in Bram Stoker's original Dracula
as
well,
but
he needed some of that good old Transylvanian dirt.
To bring it with him.
Chipped in, yeah. So it's kind of like that. Like, maybe that's what it is. The vampires need the natural microbiome that they knew in the grave. Just, you know, new soil and a new land is not going to do it.
So in addition to our yoga room that we would like, our meditation room, our labyrinth room, and our cafe,
Holly requested a human dog run room as well.
All right, the human dog run room. We'll need, I don't know, some sort of like dirt play area, some sort of backyard habitat.
Yeah, or I guess like a Roman atrium where it's just open to the elements and it has plants growing in it and, you know, a statue of a god.
See, you make it all fancy. I like it. Here I am. I'm just about to throw in a couple of pails for us in the dirt. But yeah, sculptures would be nice.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action, and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
All right, well, there you have it. I think a few takeaways that we should make here. First of all, realizing that the artificiality of our indoor spaces and how artificiality is certainly not always good. Open a window if you can. Breathe in that outdoor air.
Mm-hmm.
And unless there's a warning that you need to stay indoors. Depends on what kind of city you live in. Here in Atlanta, we occasionally get those warnings.
True.
Smell the dirt. If you haven't already, make sure you smell some dirt, smell some plants.
Yeah.
It's going to help you. It may make your brain work better, and it may reduce anxiety.
And also take note that roller derby girls are not just doing battle at the physical level, but also the cellular level, the microbial level. So when you see the next tournament you see, just know that there's a different kind of colonization going on.
Well, they tend to look kind of grubby out there. So it's, I mean, good grubby, but, you know, they're sweating. There might be a little blood, you know. Makeup is getting smeared, so.
I know, ripe for these sort of conditions.
Exactly.
For this sort of takeover of one another.
All right, well, on that note, let's call over our robot here, and let's go with a little listener mail, see what people have to share with us. All right, this one comes to us from Shay. Shay writes in and says, hello, Robert and Julie. I was pursuing past episodes the other day and to my delight came across The Science of Gremlins and Mogwai. I am also a Mogwai lover, though Gremlins not so much, and proceeded to listen with attentiveness and gusto as I performed my household duties as I usually do to the tune of your wonderful voices. I was very much enjoying the science of these fascinating creatures until about three quarters through the podcast. You, Robert, made a grievous error and had me doubting all faith in your scientific research ability and dedication to educating the masses with factual information. You were discussing survival in a natural environment and went on to say how pugs were selectively bred to be ridiculous lap dogs and would not survive in a natural environment. Well, I never. You, sir, have obviously failed to really think about the design features of the remarkable pug breed. Luckily for you, I am here to fill you in. First, the eyes of the pug are very big and sit almost to the side of their cute little face. This is so that they can see predators and prey from all angles, an essential trait for survival. The curly tail of the pug isn't just for being adored, but can aid in stick retrieval. They can quite easily hold onto a stick with that curl and therefore achieve numerous things, such as they could build a shelter to keep them safe from the elements. Pugs are that sophisticated. If there happen to be two pugs holding sticks, they can rub them together to spark a fire. It could happen. Also, holding a stick makes them look larger and more threatening, perfect for warding off predators. My pugs, yes, I'm a pug owner, have very thick coats, which would certainly be enough insulation in a milder climate. Perhaps not the Arctic, but maybe here in New Zealand. Also, don't discount the use of a pug in a domesticated environment. A pug will happily warm your lap all day if needed in the winter. Well, I hope you have had an eye-opening experience and will think again before making such ignorant remarks. Yours truly, Shay. Well, there you go. There's some of nature's wondrous innovations in the form of the pug.
The eyes of the pug.
The eyes of the pug. I hadn't really thought about their prey so much. Cause their prey generally stays in one place and squeaks when it's poked. But I did rag on the pugs some in that particular podcast, and I did have to self-correct. Like a few weeks later, when I saw a pug helper dog on MARTA on the train going home from work, which gave me all new respect for the pug as a useful
true.
Breed and
yeah.
not merely a lap dog. So I had to take a lot back. I have a lot more respect for pugs now.
That's true. That's true. You did bring that up, and you
yes.
did say the pug is worth my time or more worth my time now.
But now I know they can build things and create fire. So there
yeah,
you go.
I mean, they walk softly and they carry big sticks.
All right, here's another one. This one comes to us from Heather. Heather says, hello, I just listened to your coffee podcast and I had to write in. I'm one of those caffeine intolerant individuals. I love coffee, but have immediate and severe gastrointestinal results when I drink a cup. Interestingly, I used to be able to drink coffee, tea, hot cocoa, soda, etc., but in college one night I drank way too many cups as I was at a coffee house, around 16 cups of coffee. I was quote-unquote coffee drunk that night, nauseous, spinning a room, and had a bad hangover the next day. I had coffee, tea, and soda after that, but started to be more sensitive to it until I finally had to stop. Now, 20 years later, I'm even more sensitive to it because I have stayed away from it for so long. I can have chocolate, solid, not hot chocolate, but I have only small amounts at a time. Thanks for the interesting podcast, Heather.
I was wondering what would happen to someone if they drank that amount. Like, you know, just excess amounts, and now you know. I mean, because you really have to dedicate yourself to drinking coffee all day long for that.
Well, there was a Futurama episode where Fry drinks 100 cups, and at 100 cups, time stops, and he's able to move around with super speed and save the day. This reminds me, there was a convergence of our coffee episode and also our Stendhal syndrome episode.
Mm-hmm.
We had a listener write in and talk about having that reverse Stendhal effect when they walk into, I think, Costco.
They're at a strip mall.
They're overwhelmed by like the size and scope of commercial America,
mm-hmm.
and it gives them like physical unease. And then also we talked about coffee and about how it makes you need to poop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I recently went to a Costco for the first time, and I had been to a Sam's Club in the past, but I'd never been to a Costco. But my wife recently got a membership, so we went there to buy some things in ridiculous bulk, and we were about halfway into the store, and it's a huge space, like enormous space it's overwhelming, and I'm overwhelmed by the size of things. But then there's a guy handing out little cups of coffee. So I take one, because that's what you do, and it made me feel a little more safe, because I felt like I was back in a smaller Trader Joe's or something, and I'm drinking a little cup of coffee. But then I had to go.
You are going there. Okay.
Yeah, yes. I had the coffee and suddenly I really had to go to the bathroom. And at first I thought it was just like, all right, after I find this giant container of sausage that I need to find and bring that to the cart, then I really need to think about finding a bathroom. But then I quickly realized, no, there's no time for sausage. I need to find the restroom.
Yeah.
And I'm in the dead center of the store and I have no idea where it is. So I knew that I would, given the distances involved, I would only have time to head for one corner of the store and hope that that's where the bathroom is. And if it wasn't there, then I would have to create one of my own. Fortunately, it worked out, and I picked the right corner of the store, but it was a very frightening experience.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, seriously. I'm glad that you dropped your sausage agenda.
Yes.
And you didn't have a choice. So was the toilet supersized?
The bathrooms were nice. I was improved, but they were not enormous toilets, and there were not an enormous amount of them.
I have heard that Costco was supposed to be the fancier version of Sam's.
Well, I haven't been in a Sam's in a while, so I can't really speak to that. But Costco was clean inside, and there were lots and lots of things to buy. So
if you ever find yourself at a Costco,
scout out the bathrooms first.
Yeah,
certainly before you have any coffee. All right, here's another one from a listener who wishes to remain anonymous. He writes in and says, hi, blow the mind, guys. When I got out of federal prison, I had 3 years of probation. One of the terms of my probation was that I not play any soccer. Considering the playing soccer had nothing to do with my crime, it seemed ridiculous to me to give up playing. The problem was that I also have to be polygraphed every 4 to 6 months. As the time for my first polygraph approached and I was playing soccer 4 to 5 times a week, I started to search for ways to get around it. The tack technique, which we mentioned mm-hmm. in the episode about like putting a tack in your shoe and causing some physical pain there, the tack technique seemed a little too obvious, but the idea of creating a false baseline seemed like the way to go. As you may not know from watching movies and TV, the person administering a polygraph will only ask you yes-no questions. So the question is not what is your name, but rather is your name, insert name here. To create a false baseline, my simple solution was that whenever they asked me a baseline question, are you sitting down, do you speak English, etc., I would imagine that he had asked me, did you play soccer? This served the dual purpose of giving my line a little boost for the simple question, and when they asked the question about soccer, actually, they would ask, have you done anything in the past 4 months to violate your parole? I was a little relieved that I was finally being asked, and so my line wouldn't react as much. In line, he's talking about the line that goes up and down on the polygraph.
The graph,
This all worked a charm, and I easily passed all of my polygraphs. The only trouble came the one time I was so focused on asking myself the wrong question that when the polygrapher asked if I was sitting down, I immediately said no. I really enjoy your show, and if I ever get arrested again and my probation states that I can't listen to stuff to blow your mind, I am confident that I will be able to continue listening and pass my polygraphs, any polygraphs they might give me. Cheers.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That was firsthand knowledge on this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love hearing that because, you know, we do all this research and we, you know, we have some anecdotal stuff from some of the research that we call, but to be able to hear this person's playing this sort of game with that is really fascinating.
Yeah.
And how he or she went about it.
Yeah, with high stakes. Yeah. All right, and here's a final one from Murphy. Murphy writes in and says, "Hi, Robert and Julie. I've been drinking coffee since I was a little over a year old. I was begging for what Mom was drinking, and she gave me a taste to deter me. The plan backfired, causing me to grow up under the influence of caffeine. After listening to your podcast, I wonder what life would be like without my usual 1 to 3 cups in the morning. But then I thought that any observation of myself will change the behavior of myself, and no accurate data will be recorded." Sounds like somebody's been drinking coffee this morning.
And reading their Heisenberg.
Yep. "This thought could, of course, be a lie in my coffee-saturated brain, invented to keep itself from having to live a day abstaining from the delicious, delicious toxins. There is no good way to sum this up, Murphy."
People feel very passionate about their coffee.
Yeah, it's the dark brown god, and I depend on it. So I'm not going to attempt to thwart it.
Indeed.
Yep. So there you have it. A few listener mails to get through. Sadly, we don't have time for more in this episode, but we'll continue to try and pimp them out, and we would love for you to keep sending them to us, particularly in regards to this episode and our previous ones about workspaces and the microbiome in your workspace. How does this change your way of looking at your work environment? How does it change the way you think about the air that's coming in through that vent versus the air that comes in through that window, if you could possibly open it on your building? We would love to hear from you. Let us know. You can find us on a number of places. We, of course, have stufftoblowyourmind.com, the mothership of all the things that we do. You can also find us on social media. We're on Facebook and Tumblr, Stuff to Blow Your Mind. We are on Twitter as Blow the Mind. And over there on YouTube, we put all of our fabulous videos up at Mind Stuff Show.
And you can also drop us a line and let us know about your microbial adventures at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action, and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.